Hello and welcome back for another episode of the Did You Know Show. Brent Hussey and Noah Cassidy joining me here on this Wednesday. Noah, how are you doing?
Well, good old midweek madness. Good day. Mm-hmm. It's good to be halfway through the week already. Coming to the end of November as well.
Yeah, second to last day.
Creeping into December.
By Christmas, Friday, we'll be here in December.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go and get into the Did You Know Show today. Noah, what do you got for us?
All right, so this is kind of interesting. I actually didn't know this. Did you know that Washington, D.C. is the country's ninth capital?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it was the country's ninth capital.
So we bounced around for eight different capital
cities?
Yeah,
multiple times we actually ended up in Philadelphia. So we're going to go ahead and read through this.
I didn't know that was one of them.
Yeah, so actually multiple times, like kind of bounced back and forth to it. But while Washington, D.C. is obviously the U.S. capital we're most familiar with today, it's far from the country's first. In fact, it came at the end of a very long road. When the Second Continental Congress declared independence of the United States of America in 1776, its home base was at Pennsylvania State House, which is now Independence Hall, made Philadelphia the first capital and the brand new of this brand new nation. But arriving waves of British soldiers made life really dangerous in the major coastal cities of the former colonies, and congressional delegates, they formed colonies, and they often found themselves on the move from those colonies during the Revolutionary War because of the British troops coming in on the coast, right? So following a two-month stay in Baltimore, the Continental Congress returned back to Philadelphia for 6 months before reconvening for one September 1777 day in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So it went to Baltimore. Then it came back to Pennsylvania, Lancaster. Next, they moved the capital a little farther west to York for 9 months before going back to Philadelphia once again. So while the American Revolution was effectively over by the summer of 1783, a domestic threat from Continental Army soldiers seeking overdue wages against sent congressional delegates, scurrying this delegates, making them kind of, you know, more in a hostile environment once again, the time for the college to move to New Jersey happened now, which is Princeton University. That is where the capital went once again. So from there, it was on to Maryland, and then to the future New Jersey capital of Trenton through late 1784. So, I mean, it just bounced all over the place. Before the government actually began to stabilize with the drafting of the U.S. Constitution and the election of our President George Washington during its nearly sixth-year tenure in New York City. So it went all over the place up in the Northeast.
Yeah, that's crazy. I did not realize that. I guess while the Revolutionary War was going on, there was so much conflict. Yeah,
trying to keep the delegates away from the battle.
Keep everybody safe, but also trying to make sure you can still get everything organized.
Yep. Finally, there was a Residency Act in 1790, and the government temporarily returned to Philadelphia one final time, and then they ended up finally, you know, they were trying to actually convince George Washington to keep it over there, but he decided that he wanted it somewhere else. They declared Washington, D.C. in November 1800, and that was shortly after John Adams moved into what eventually became known as the White House.
Right.
And so they moved to Washington, D.C.
Right around 1800, and 1800. Now it's been
220
years.
Hadn't moved since then. It was just a lot of moving in the 1700s.
Hopefully we keep it there for a long, long time. But that's pretty cool. Interesting to hear about how our nation formed and some of those smaller things that you wouldn't think about in terms of that.
Yeah.
My did you know today, did you know that babies are born with almost 100 more bones than adults?
100 more?
Yeah, almost.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Right, so the human body has about 206 bones, but if you're talking about babies, the number is actually closer to 300.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because many of the newborn's bones are made up of cartilage, which is more malleable and allows the babies to develop. So as the children grow, the cartilage turns into bone by a process called ossification, and the excess bones fuse together. Okay. So a lot of those smaller bones end up, during growth, fusing together and becoming stronger and larger. So it's a bunch of small little bones that grow, and then they become larger and combine together get down to that eventual
206 I still wouldn't have guessed that many
number.
More bones, though. Like, yeah, okay, you know, maybe 30, 40, 50 right. more bones that fuse, but 100
yeah.
more bones?
Yeah, and almost 150% more because you're going from 206 to 300.
Yeah, that's
and it's
crazy.
Actually even, it doesn't happen just that quickly, though. So a lot of younger kids, you still have a lot more bones than adults because ossification continues until a person reaches their mid-20s.
Mid-20s?
Which is around when humans reach their peak bone mass.
Huh.
So our bones are constantly changing, just like we're constantly shedding skin, you know, new hair follicles,
right.
things like that. Our bones are changing as well until you get to about your mid-20s when you reach your peak bone mass.
Huh. Okay. Well, I guess I'm just now hitting 206
bones. Yep, me too. Our bones are as completely formed and as strong as they'll ever be right
All
now,
downhill so. From here on
yeah,
out.
That's right. But that's our Did You Know show for us today, learning about the U.S. Capitol changing around as we were going through the Revolutionary War and becoming a country, plus babies and the tons of tiny bones that they have in their bodies as they grow and develop. Pretty cool stuff. Make sure you come on back tomorrow for another episode of the Did You Know. For another episode.